Oh, you know, there was such a happy sound of you all chatting, and then it got so quiet, which I think is ultimately good, because we're going to get to spend some time praying together. I don't want you to be surprised. You know what we're going to do. We will be getting into groups, but you don't have to quite circle up your chairs yet. I was just reading this morning in Matthew 8, and it was really interesting and I'll just read here. This is Matthew 8:18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. The animals have homes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And I was just thinking that Jesus, as he's instructing those who would follow him, knows how our human hearts work, right? And we want safety, we want security, we want a little kingdom for ourselves, we want control. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, it is going to be trusting him. And that is what trusting Jesus is. What following Jesus is trusting him. It's putting our hands in his hand and following him as he leads. And one of the ways we demonstrate our trust to Jesus, who knows best for us, it's not like, if we could turn this down a little, it seems louder vibrating, I'm not sure. If we trust him, putting our hands in his hands, he knows what's good for us. And the way that we demonstrate our trust to him is through prayer. And we are going to get to demonstrate our trust to Jesus by talking to him. One of the things that we did last time, and hopefully we'll keep going, and I would like to diversify as time goes. We would love to hear from one or two of you each time of prayer, just to share something you've been learning about God, share a way that the saints can be praying for you, what God's been doing in your life. We would love to hear you share. So I've reached out to the aspiring men and asked them, the men who are in that class learning about being elders. I've asked them, but I want to have that an open invitation to you. I'm not going to do an open mic, but if you say, you know, the Lord has really been growing me in this, or I've been trusting him more in this way, or this is a way that the saints can pray for me, I would love for you to reach out to me. We pray together the first Sunday of every month, and I would love to hear from you. Our brother Albert is going to be sharing some of what God is doing in his life and how we can be praying for him. I don't even know totally what he's going to say. And so Albert's going to, he doesn't know what he's going to say. No, I'm sure he does. Albert's going to come up and we're going to trust Jesus together, and then I'll give some more instructions. Thanks for coming up, Albert.
Okay. Thanks, Isaiah. So thanks for the opportunity to be able to share just some things that the Lord has been teaching in my life and my family's life. But I thought I would introduce myself really quickly. My name's Albert. My wife is Jean. We've been married, well, this year we'll be married 20 years. We have three kids, Matthew, Catherine, and Audrey. And actually, it's kind of funny. When we were coming to church today, we were thinking about how long Jean has been here, and she's been with part of Cornerstone since 1999. And that's from the very beginning. And I've been part of Cornerstone since 2001. And little known fact, February 14 is actually the anniversary of Cornerstone's founding. So this year it'll be 24 years. So, well, it's just a testament to the Lord's faithfulness for Cornerstone. So I was thinking about what to share. And actually, you know, if we think about it, there's so many things that we can share about because of the Lord's faithfulness to us. There's so many blessings that we can talk about. But I think one thing that's been kind of on my mind and my heart recently, and I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but at least when I'm at work, I feel that I can get very influenced by the world, because that's where we're spending most of our time. For the kids, it's at school, or if you're homeschooled, you're at home. But if you're in public school, you get influenced by everything around you. For myself, I was thinking, just calculating, I spend 9 hours of the day at work 5 days a week, not longer, and I can actually feel how the philosophies and thoughts of the world start to creep into my own thoughts because I'm constantly exposed to it. I work for Kaiser, and it just seems like there's a constant attack upon or a constant influence upon my way of thinking because I'm constantly in the world. But I think one thing that I've been really encouraged about actually in the Spire class, one of them is defending the doctrine and being equipped. And one way to do that, if you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And then the next verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I think that's sort of a verse that I really hold on to, especially being in the world, working in the world, because I'm so influenced by the world that the only way to combat that is with the truth, and that's through God's word. And I'm really thankful for that because it's only through the Holy Spirit that allows me to desire that and to want to be equipped. So I think that's something that I want to apply to myself and my family in terms of doctrine, being able to defend the truth, defend the faith, because that's something that we're constantly battling. So the other thing I wanted to share was just through the Spire class, it's given me a greater appreciation for our pastors and elders. There's this book that we're going through, Biblical Eldership. It talks about elders and pastors, just the entire shebang. And sometimes we think of our elders and pastors just meeting maybe once or twice a month, just for a few hours, and that's it. But it's not really that. It's a constant lifestyle. I mean, constantly praying and loving the body, and it just gives me a greater appreciation for them. In fact, there's some quotes from the book that I wanted to share. And so one of them is this. It's from the Biblical Eldership. Believers who love their shepherds will have a greater understanding and tolerance for their shepherds' mistakes. In love, believers will view difficult situations in the best possible light. In love, believers will be less critical and more responsive to the elders' instruction and admonition. It cannot be emphasized enough that the best thing a congregation can do for its leaders is to love them. Love, and only love, suffers long. Love covers a multitude of sins. So I was thinking, it just gives me a great appreciation for our pastors, elders, and how do we love them the most? We pray for them. And practically also, I was just talking with my wife this past week, how can we best love our elders? Is also just besides praying for them, is also just to ask how we can come alongside them to help them and encourage them, because it is a heavy, it's a weighty work, but a work that they do in love. And how do we show love by coming alongside and asking how can we help them? And there's so many things in the church that need to be done that cannot be done just by the elders. It's the entire congregation. So that's why I've been so encouraged by them, and I hope you guys are too. So thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing, Albert, a little bit of how the Lord is growing him. And we look forward to hearing more of you share. What are you getting to know about God? How are you growing in your relationship with him? And how can we be praying for you? There's not a script. We just wanted to hear your heart so that we can share with you. Now, one of the ways we are doing that is on this prayer guide, and maybe some of you are like, I don't necessarily want to stand up front. Well, we're going to get over that. I would love, maybe someday for all of us to be coming up here. But in our prayer guide, you can see that some of our church body has been putting in their prayer requests, kind of going through in an alphabetical way. We send these out on Friday, and slowly by Sunday morning, they are populated. But I just love how honest everyone is being. It's just a wonderful little window. It's kind of like a little snapshot into your family's life of what is going on and how we can be praying for you. So thank you for sharing those. We are going to get into small groups now, and we're going to work through our prayer guide. Excuse me. And we're going to keep doing the same things that we've done. We're going to spend some minutes there. There's a little passage you can read. We're going to talk about God's faithfulness as he keeps promises and just praise him for a few minutes. I wanted to have an opportunity there so that you can say, hey, can you please be praying for me? Not everyone has to share, but just if there's something pressing, then we're going to get into praying for the saints. And let's see here. There's about one, two, three. I think there's about seven family units there, so let's make sure that this far side of the room starts off with a Hugo and Rita. The middle of the room can start off with Josh Feaster, and the end of the room can start off with Ed and Steph, and then maybe can pray for some of those church-wide things too, like praying for a building or praying for some of the guests who came to our Christmas Eve service. Okay, and just kind of spend the rest of your time working through the prayer requests, and I will gather us together with just a couple minutes left. Pray and then talk a little bit about our next Equipping Hour series, which is going to start next Sunday. I'm going to pray, and then we'll launch into our small groups, about 8-10 max people. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it is a great privilege to come before you, but Lord, it is not particularly that we are before you because we're in this building. It is a sweet thing that as the saints are together, as your spirit indwells us, that we gather together are your temple. Lord, that is an incredible blessing, incredible privilege, only accomplished through Jesus Christ. And so thank you that he is our great high priest, that we are welcome in your presence, that his blood has cleansed us, Lord, that we could be no more welcome in your presence in Christ Jesus than we are right now, Lord, whether we had a week of thriving or a week of despairing in Christ, we are welcome, Lord. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be united to one another as we pray. We pray, Lord, that you would be accomplishing your will through these prayers. We don't want to pray for our will, for our kingdom, Lord. We don't want Cornerstone Bible Church to be an extension of our kingdom, Lord, but this to be about your kingdom. And we want our homes, our lives, our working in the work world to be all about your glory and about you being king. We do thank you, Father, for how our brother Albert shared, Lord, for what he's learning about the church supporting the elders and the elders' work, and Lord. But we do pray for him and for those of us, Lord, who are daily bombarded in a work world surrounded by those who don't know you, and it is a constant battle to not be influenced by the thinking of this world of what success is, of what right and wrong is, of what is appropriate, Lord, as the world tries to form us into their image, Lord, rather than us being conformed into the image of your Son. So please help Albert in that and help each of us as we launch into another work week or school week, Lord, of fighting hard to be thinking truth, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time that we can pray together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so get in groups of 8 or 10 and enjoy some time praying together, beginning with talking about how the Lord's been faithful in keeping his promises to you. There are prayer guides outside, out front, and I've also put a chair there, unless someone moved it, with prayer guides on the chair. So you don't even have to, it looks like they're on the back table. That's a responsible place. No one will trip, I guess. Oh, and sorry, Saints, it says December at the top. When we are in heaven, I won't make mistakes like that.